Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I am very pleased to be sitting with Kathleen Duffy-Ybarra, the president of the Duffy Group. Welcome, Kathleen.
It's nice to be here. Thank you, Karen.
We've been talking about this for a while, haven't we?
We have.
I'm glad we're finally here today to learn everything about what you have going on in the world of recruitment. And I know it's just so much more than that for you. Tell us about the Duffy Group.
Wow. Well, the Duffy Group, this year, we're excited to be in our 27th year. And we're doing something a little different. I think a lot of people are familiar with traditional recruiting firms, and we have a different approach that we're bringing into the market, especially in the new economy. Organizations are looking for a model that was much more cost-effective and efficient. And so we've changed our model up a bit so that we're helping our clients to really go after very, very passive talent. And we're doing so in a much more cost-effective way.
And is there a specific industry that you focus on, or you're pretty wide open?
You know, Duffy Group is growing. And so we have 5 practice leaders today and about a total of 20 recruiters in our organization. And so we cross a lot of different practice areas, lots of industries. So some of the larger ones include the renewable energy space. We do manufacturing. One of the big areas within manufacturing is Lean and Six Sigma, operations, manufacturing, engineering, food manufacturing, healthcare, higher education, nonprofit.
Oh my.
So we really do try to stay as broad as we can.
And for 26, 29 years, how long?
27 years.
Okay, so right in the middle.
Right,
27
right?
years. That's a long time. And I know that the Duffy Group has not only been really a leader in recruitment and career development, that all of that in here in Arizona, but also you've been nationally recognized.
Right. We work nationally and probably within the last 10 years have expanded outside of the country and do a lot of work internationally. Oh. Yeah. So recently, actually, we're currently doing a couple of projects down in Mexico. We've done work in Australia, in Asia, Germany. Yeah.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah. It's been fun.
And what would you say your secret sauce is? I know you mentioned that, you know, with the way the economy is right now, you've got to stay ahead of it and know what people need. But is there a that you'd be willing to share anyway, a little secret sauce?
Well, I think the secret sauce is listening, and it's really listening to what the client's needs are. I have an amazing team behind me that, because of our ability to listen, you know, what really separates our model from others is that we're really targeting the very passive job seeker. And so they're currently employed. And by listening, we understand where those individuals are currently residing, where they're currently working. And they may be in a competitor, they may be in a targeted industry, it may be a hybrid role. So because our foundation is in recruitment research, our listening enables us to ask better questions so that we're really spot on with identifying the right candidate for our clients.
So the word passive, you don't necessarily mean someone who isn't a go-getter or someone who is an introvert. You're talking about someone who might be not actively looking
Correct.
For a position.
Correct.
Love it.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, today in our economy, the unemployment rate is very low.
Yes.
And so people are not looking for new opportunities, but they're listening for new opportunities. So people have to hunt for those folks, and they may not have the time or the resources internally to do that. So they need to outsource it to an organization like ours to go and hunt for those people.
I'm fascinated by how job applicants, or how should I phrase this? I'm fascinated by how people have to apply for jobs these days. So if somebody were looking for a position, do they have to do online applications? It seems like you'd really need to have a recruiting company there to help you navigate all the minutiae of a career.
Well, possibly. What I have found is that recruiting companies do not represent candidates in their job search predominantly. They will help facilitate introductions, especially if a recruiting firm is working for that client. In our world, we don't represent candidates in their job search. So when people are looking for an opportunity, I do have an individual that I refer them to, and his name is Gary Rashawn. And Gary helps candidates to maneuver the job search process. But more importantly, what Gary does is he helps people to tell that story. Because once again, while the unemployment rate is low, you do need to figure out how you're going to stand out and tell that story. And that's really why I recommend people to visit with Gary and help them through that process.
So if, yeah, I would imagine being able to clearly articulate your career story would really make a difference once you land in front of somebody for an interview.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, new leadership comes in, and so positions are eliminated. And you know, you may have been in a role for 5, 10, 15 years. And how do you explain to a potential employer why you're no longer there in 15 years? People are much more accommodating in this day and age. But because there's so many people to choose from, or not so many people to choose from, you have to be very, very strategic in telling that story so that it really hits the right nerve with a hiring leader.
I keep wanting to use the word aggressive as we're talking. And I don't mean in a pushy, shovey way, but you have to be on the top of your game if you are the person who's looking to seek employment.
Well, I agree. You do have to be aggressive, but I think you have to be more purposeful in your conversation.
Better word, yes.
I think that's kind of my new buzzword, because a lot of times people will have coffees for the sake of having coffees and they're networking and whatnot, but they may not be having a purposeful conversation. So while lots of people will contact me and say, hey, can you help me with my networking? Well, yeah, I can, but it needs to be purposeful so that if I'm making an introduction to, you know, a C-suite leader, that they understand why. It's not just to make another friend.
Right, right. Love that. I like you, I'm extremely busy and I do enjoy meeting new people and I don't mind expanding my sphere of influence and or my circle, but I really want to be intentional
right.
with how I spend my time.
Yes.
And who I spend it with.
Yes.
Absolutely. Do you have talent, the talent you need to accomplish the company's goals? What if someone, let me back up. When you work with companies, do you help them figure out what positions that they need to create? Do you help them find that talent? How do you work with companies then? If it's not so much about the person that you're recruiting, the candidate, tell me about the other side of the coin.
So it really depends on the size of the organization. So currently we're working with an organization that is privately held, and the CEO of that organization is in a position where he is looking to transition his business and have somebody to take over for him and potentially set the business up for sale. So there's not a real job description around that. That's one of those hybrid roles. And because it's a very small industry, they need to, you know, what we're helping this individual do is to really understand where the right place to start talking to people are. It's like sending your child off to, you know, to kindergarten for the first time. It's an unknown territory. And so part of what we do for our this type of a client is to help them understand what the landscape looks like so that they get a better idea of who their backup is going to be and who's going to take their baby on for the next level. Then you have larger organizations that have very robust talent management. And so they're able to do a lot of that strategy and consultation with their senior leaders, but they need somebody to just partner with them to go out and really find the candidates, maybe find out what's going on in the marketplace from a compensation perspective. Compensation is usually the big thing, but in diversity too. You know, nowadays it's very important to have a diverse slate of candidates, and sometimes there isn't diversity in there, unfortunately.
You work with companies, big, small, medium, I mean, certainly across several different industries. And you mentioned how important your team is, that you've got a fantastic team. Tell us a little bit about how you've built that over these 27 years.
Wow. Well, ironically enough, many of them have been my clients.
Really?
Yes.
That's fun.
So they could appreciate our business model and liked it for that reason. I think what really sets our organization apart is our culture, and it is really all about work-life balance. And so many people came because they are the primary breadwinner in their family. Mm-hmm. They love the recruiting, but they also had small children and they wanted to be able to figure out, how can I have it all? And so we created a culture that allows people to have it all. And now here we are again, 27 years later, we still have people in our organization with young families, but now we're dealing with with our aging parents. And so we've got both sides of the spectrum, and that people are needing to care for their parents as well. And we need to have that flexibility in there too.
And how large is your team, full-time employment?
So we have 22 people on our team altogether.
And all here based in Arizona?
No, the majority of them are here, but I do have folks in Colorado, in upstate New York, in Rochester, and in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yay, Atlanta, Georgia. Yay. That's where Business Radio X originated from.
There we go.
Fantastic. I know that you personally have been widely recognized, and sometimes people get a little bashful and a little humble. So I invite you not to do that here. But you've been recognized for a lot of different, from a lot of different perspectives and organizations across the country. You are an ASU graduate.
Oh, very proud Sun Devil.
Yes, absolutely. And had in 2016 and 2017 were an honoree for the Sun Devil 100. Tell us a little bit about that recognition.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, as a matter of fact, they were just announced that we have been recognized again in 2018.
Oh my
gosh. So I'm very excited about that. So that is an initiative it started out at W.P. Carey, and then the ASU Alumni Association took it over. And it is modeled after a couple of other universities that recognize their graduates or their alumni who have started businesses or who are a major officer in an organization. Mm-hmm. And so it's really around innovation and enterprise.
Well, certainly with 27 years in the business space and the success that you've had, you're certainly worthy. And I love that it's been three years now.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that.
Excellent. And also a founding member of the Arizona Human Resource Executive Forum. Tell us about that organization.
Yeah, that's a great organization. So Arizona Human Resource Executive Forum is part of the Human Resource Planning and Strategy, which is also part of the Society of Human Resource Management. So it's a professional organization, and it's really geared towards senior HR leaders. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that HR leaders need to get out, that they need to get out of their office. They need to connect with other senior HR leaders. So it creates an opportunity on a monthly or bi-monthly basis to meet with other strategic leaders, to hear thought leaders in their space, but also to be able to share best practices. And that's probably been one of the most engaging pieces of that that organization.
I'm finding that as I get to know the Phoenix business community a little bit better, again, across all industries, we really are around being collaborative. Mm-hmm. I love that. I don't know that I've always seen that from the other aspects of my career that I've had. Even in education, there always had tend to be this competition, sometimes really fierce, sometimes very subtle. But now I'm seeing, do you find that as well? More of our culture and business is to reach across the table and you know, shake hands and let's find ways to collaborate and inform each other, learn, as well as lifting up when we need help and also reaching up when we might be able to lend a hand.
Yeah, absolutely. I find if anything, people just don't give themselves the opportunity or the time to do that. Another fabulous HR group is the Human Resources Executive Summit and Forum. And this is a new organization that's been founded by Laura Krause, who is the head of HR over in the city of Peoria right now. And we recently had our conference. And what was so great about the collaboration there was one of the panels was the CEO panel from Taylor Morrison, from Xerox, and from Avnet, and their perspective on human resources and how important having that human resource leader as one of their trusted advisors in their organization.
Love that. I really do feel that we need to continue to make sure everybody is playing in a way that's encouraging, yeah, that mm-hmm. we can lend a hand. And if you start that culture like you've done within your organization and then take that and teach that to the companies that you're working with, or at least be in alignment with their thinking, we are all in a better place to continue moving up the ladder.
Absolutely.
And let's talk about that moving up the ladder. How do you then assist professionals, whether it's on the corporate end or on the candidate end, is there this piece around professional development that the Duffy Groups assist with?
We're not experts in professional development, so we do have colleagues that we can refer people out to. But what we do is, a big piece of our conversation is around succession planning. So allowing our clients to not necessarily jump to the fact that they need to go and put another body in this chair, but let's look at the people that are already in the organization, because sometimes it's a little easier, if you will, to promote somebody from within than rather than bring them in from the outside. And that's what keeps people motivated, engaged, and helps to keep our clients' retention level low or high.
Yes. Yep. Turnover low, retention high.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yes. And what if the candidate pool doesn't exist and they have to hunt for talent? What does that look like then?
Well, that's when we come in and help them. So again, it gets back to listening to that client and identifying where they need to go. So for example, at this conference, one of the HR executive forum and leader and summit and forum, there was a gentleman there who is in the healthcare and the technology space. And the challenge that they have is trying to find technology professionals, but to be able to compete with the technology industry from a compensation perspective, from a work-life culture perspective. And so the exact words that he said is that we have to hunt for talent because we need people with technology and healthcare experience. And so by supporting someone like that, it's about identifying who the companies are that embrace both healthcare and technology. And that way you are, again, targeting the right organizations who are employing the people that our client needs to hire. So again, that's where it's become a very efficient model and a very cost-effective model, but it also builds them a database of talent so that now they can be more proactive as opposed to reactive in looking for that really hard to find talent.
That's got to put them really at a great advantage if they're prepared for those transitions and or those open vacancies or newly created positions. If they're being proactive, that's got to make a huge difference.
Huge, 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 huge difference.
And do you find that most of the companies that you work with are right on board right away with this model, this research model that you've embraced?
It depends. So whenever you're doing something a little different, a little out of the ordinary, there's always that, well, wait a minute, we've always done it this other way. Mm-hmm. Why do I want to do it this way? So I think what's really different, because we work in billable time, so we work like a professional services organization. So we work like a CPA or a law firm. And so that's a different philosophy from traditional recruiting firms. So once they understand what they are able to get for in a billable hour, in a billable block of time, and that I think the most important piece is that they actually control the recruiting budget. Whereas when you're looking at other traditional recruiting models, that it's really driven by the recruiter that is determining that fee is going to be based on a percentage of the candidate's salary. So our fee is not based on that. Our fee is based on work time expended.
Again, really the research behind the robust commitment behind that.
Right.
Right.
Right. And that's why our model is really collaborative, because the client has to have some skin in the game too, right? And so they need to actually remember to make a point to follow up with candidates and follow up with us to make sure that we can get the right people in the seat so that they can keep going and doing what they need to do, which is grow their respective businesses.
Right, which is what they're there to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So when companies begin to work with you and they get this model and they embrace it and they're on board, I'd imagine that you stay with them for a long period of time.
Oh, a very long time. Exactly. And sometimes, and the other thing that's nice about our model is that as businesses ebb and flow, they pull us in and pull us out.
Sure. You're not needed every week, every month, every year, that is, right?
Exactly.
It's whenever as on an as needed basis, but they're going to come back to you because of the collaborative model.
Exactly. So we have one client that we've been working with for probably close to 20 years. And we started with them when they had three individuals. We brought their new CEO in. And they were always looking for consultants, and they needed people who were in a, this is in the Lean Six Sigma area. And so they wanted to identify business consultants who were interested in doing more project work. And so we were able to just build an incredible database for them. So in the end, they were able to fill their roles in a very short period of time for, you know, almost pennies on the dollar at this point.
Incredible. 20 years in relationship with this organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Would you consider yourself an industry disruptor as it comes to recruiting? Because everything you're sharing with me is really shifting my idea and understanding of how recruiting works.
I like to think we are. Yes.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it, that it really is around building relationships, solid relationships, really doing the research, being proactive versus reactive, and the education component and collaboration piece. It sounds very unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the collaboration piece, especially because there's a lot of tools out there. There's a lot of really great tools. You've got LinkedIn, you have just internal employee referrals, job postings work, but so it's just nice to be another tool for people, as opposed to saying we're the end all be all. We want to collaborate. We just want to be a tool for them.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Did you know growing up that one day you'd have this 27-year strong career in recruiting?
Well, no, I really wanted to start off being a hairdresser because my mother always made me cut my hair very short. She loved the pixie and I wanted long hair. And so I was going to be a hairdresser so that I would let girls have their hair long.
Oh my gosh.
Then that went into being a teacher. I wanted to be so when I came to Arizona State University, originally I was going to be a special ed teacher. They had a pass-fail class, which I did pass.
Important note.
Yes. But I realized that I probably wasn't cut out to be a teacher. And so then I thought I would just get into training and development or something along that line. What I didn't realize is that as a member of my sorority, I'm a member of Kappa Delta Sorority, I was a devil's advocate, which is the student recruitment group on campus, and also being involved in Panhellenic, I was actually destined to become a recruiter because that's what I love to do. I loved introducing people to the university. I loved introducing them to sorority life. And so I think that's kind of how I fell into this world. I worked for a corporate organization for a short period of time before I got introduced to a small executive search firm. And that was just home for me. And then when they relocated to the Bay Area, it was time for me to spread my wings and start my business. And that's what I did.
So that was about how many years after graduating from ASU?
Let's see, that was about 10 years after I graduated from ASU.
But you've already been working for this executive recruiting firm and really understanding, it sounds like, the ins and outs of how it works and developing your own, not only skill set, but idea of how you would do things on your own. And the Duffy Group was born?
Right. Yep. Twinkle
just
in
like
my
that.
Eye.
Yeah. Yes. Interesting. Now, I also went to school with the idea of becoming a teacher, which I did. And that was at NAU, which we spoke about a little bit earlier before we came on air. And it's fascinating how we begin to just be led, which is kind of, I think, fun with obviously the work that you do, helping people see that our landscape, our career landscape doesn't always look like we think it's going to.
Right.
But if we really listen to what we've enjoyed doing and where we can best serve, then we can really find our way to the next greatest position as long as we continue to watch where there's career development, leadership development skills available to
us. Yeah. And I think our students that are graduating today have a better idea around that. So whereas back in the, I always say the Stone Ages, you know, you had a degree, you were an accountant, you were an engineer. Now you can study a variety of different things. And based on some of your student activities that you're doing, some of your various part-time jobs, create these roles. And employers are much more open to that, as opposed to back again in the Stone Ages, where you had to have a certain degree and that was the only type of person they would hire.
That goes back to your point earlier in our conversation around being able to clearly articulate your career story, right? Because I think it used to look pretty, or we thought it's supposed to look very segmented. You did this, then you did this, you graduated from here, then you did this, especially if you're looking at C-level positions. Mm-hmm. But now, if we can really articulate and share our story in a way that's impactful and really show and prove that we've got the grit and the experience behind us, we are just as likely of a candidate as somebody who really did, you know, checked off all the boxes.
Right, exactly. And I think that, you know, it gets to, the conversation around diversity. And I don't mean by, the color of your skin or your sexual orientation. It's really about just being able to think creatively. And I find that a lot of people are looking for people that have stronger communication skills than necessarily the technical skills so that they can blend that together.
I have two kiddos, as again, we talked about prior to coming on air, who are graduating from W.P. Carey within the next couple of years, actually Madison and May. And one of the things that we continue to encourage them is their well-roundedness. You know, they really are both bright kids and doing well academically, but we want to continue to encourage the leadership skills and the involvement. Madison and her sorority, my son plays in a band. What for the younger job seeker, what would be some words of wisdom for someone maybe just coming out of university?
And I work, my daughter was in a sorority, and I work with my chapter at ASU. The sororities are large. I mean, they're small businesses. So, you know, you've got 200 young women that you are advising. So if you think about being the treasurer of that, you are managing the budget for a 200-person organization.
That'll be on your resume,
exactly,
then, right?
Exactly. And so it's not just about this social organization that you are part of. There's a heavy leadership component to it. And you need to just call out those leadership activities that you've been involved in. And again, you can align them. My daughter was the recruitment chair. And
of course she was.
And it was, well, I know, really. And now she's a recruiter. And that was not her career path either, but she really found that she was a good at assessing talent, if you will, and what was a good fit for her organization, and to be able to help the others to decide what was a good fit and what wasn't a good fit. So it wasn't so much that, oh, I really like this person and that's great. They are a nice person, but maybe they're not the right fit. And so I think that's where, our young people are able to see things differently.
And I'm even thinking about my son who hasn't followed a traditional path. He's a musician, still getting his degree. I would even think though correct me if I'm wrong, but with his resume, even as part of a band for the last 4 years, he's had to go out and get gigs and sell tickets. Is it appropriate for him to include that on a resume as well? Or does it depend on what kind of job he's going for?
Well, we didn't get into that part of the conversation, but I have a son that's a musician also.
Okay.
And yes. And, you know, that's very entrepreneurial. And musicians think very differently too. And they're quick on their feet. And as a matter of fact, a lot of them are systems programmers, believe it or not. But yeah, absolutely. And to be able to show up on time, that says a lot. To be able to follow up, to have repeat business, huge, huge experience.
Good. So I think the key is to be well-rounded and look through the lens of when I'm looking to monetize my life and I want to have a lifestyle, whatever things I enjoy doing can really become part of what I have to offer an organization or a company.
Absolutely. Yeah. And our young people are much more entrepreneurial
today.
They
sure are. Mm-hmm. They're much more fluid, I think.
Yeah. It's really fun to sit back and watch them bloom.
Absolutely. And with the organizations that you work with, any tips and suggestions for perhaps middle management or even upper management looking for that next step in their career? What should they be looking at and who should they be aligning with as they make their transitions?
Well, I'm a big proponent of people being involved in their professional organizations. It's about networking. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's my first thing that I would encourage people to do. They also need to stay active on social media, need to keep their LinkedIn profile active, to stay connected with people, with thought leaders, to be in different groups. So it's, the hard part is time, but that's really the best way to do it because people in the recruiting world, there's again, many, many choices. And the best hire is usually an employee referral. And so if you are in a connected in your professional organization, then they're more inclined to make an introduction because they're going to know you a little bit better and know whether or not you're going to fit their organization.
It goes back to, again, your philosophy at the Duffy Group around passively recruiting. Mm-hmm. That if we're active on LinkedIn and we are following thought leaders and not just liking something, but actually making a comment and or staying engaged mm-hmm. in social media professionally, it can greatly benefit them when somebody else may be watching what they're doing and seek them out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Is there anything that I haven't thought to ask that you thought would be appropriate in our conversation today? Something else about the Duffy Group that our listeners might be interested in hearing?
Well, let's see. As I said, we are growing and we are always looking for passionate recruiters to join our organization. So if people are looking for an environment that's much more focused around work-life balance, that allows people to come in and do what they love to do, but with an opportunity to build their own business and to be entrepreneurial. We have those kinds of opportunities too. We also have the opportunity to, again, manage your career based on life. So whether that be about school-aged children or adult parents that need an extra pair of hands, then we will always provide that opportunity.
Love that. And how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Well, the best place is to visit our website, which is duffygroup.com, or they can reach out to me directly at my email, which is kduffy@duffygroup.com.
Wonderful. It really has been a pleasure to get to know you today. I really am blown away with the magnitude of success that you individually have had, but also in the 27 years that the Duffy Group has been around. So kudos to you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.